You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Huda Nation? Welcome to the Locked On Saints podcast, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where you get to hear the local experts on the biggest stories, your team, every day. Ross Jackson here, your host covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, like nobody else does it. Lead analyst over at allsaintsconsidered.com, your source for up-to-the-minute Saints news for Saints fans, by Saints fans. You know what it is. Go ahead and throw me a follow over on Twitter at RossJacksonASC. If this is your first time catching the podcast, thank you so much for being here and welcome. Please be sure to subscribe, share, rate, review. All of that is a big help to me, but it'll also help you stay up to date with every new episode as it drops every Monday through Friday. And remember, you can find Locked On Saints on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and now the new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as just about anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you're out on the road, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints. And as you've heard throughout the week, we are very, very lucky to have a couple of sponsors that are helping to bring the podcast to you each and every Monday through Friday. So let's start off by welcoming and saying thank you to Hotels.com, because today's show is brought to you in part by that very website. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Build your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com, be there, do that, get rewarded. Hoodat family, and thank you so much for tuning in to this week's final episode. Waited until the morning to get this one out for you. You can hear the birds chirping outside. I just needed to get some rest because I'm moving and it's been hectic, but it's not just been hectic for me. It's been hectic all over these NFL streets. The first session of OTAs for the Saints is wrapped. They made some moves over the last couple of days. Gerald McCoy took a visit, and Ted Ginn Jr. is set to put his money where his mouth is. There's so much to talk about on today's episode of Locked On Saints, so I'm here to bring you all of that and a little bit of Lagniappe right here on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, y'all, let's get started by talking about OTAs. The first session of OTAs came to a close on Thursday with a practice that was open to the media. So we got to hear a little bit of information about what was going on. So let's run over a couple of the things that took place, sort of highlights. So let's talk first about who was missing from practice. We had four names missing from practice, two of which should not be surprising. Marcus Davenport wasn't there for the open portion in terms of team drills, but he did participate in individual workout drills per Triplett over at ESPN. So that's a good sign. Of course, he's coming back from his toe surgery in February. Sheldon Rankins, of course, as expected, was absent, still recovering from his Achilles tear back in the playoffs. And then the two names that we didn't expect to see, but that you don't need to be concerned about missing practice, are Cameron Jordan and Larry Warford. Larry Warford, maybe a little bit more of cause for concern because there's no news as to why he missed, but Larry Holder tweeted out that Cam Jordan's absence was nothing really to be worried about, and he simply missed Thursday's practice. Remember that these are not holdouts. There's no news on any Saints players holding out at all. Don't get worried when you hear a name that, you know, didn't show up for the voluntary offseason program. Just like we talked about earlier in the week, everything's fine when you don't hear those guys. You know, the big thing when you hear that those guys weren't there, the two big names that most people, I'm sure, were most concerned about were Michael Thomas and Cameron Jordan, because both of them are eligible for extensions and very well could see extensions moving forward for the rest, through the next few years. And so because they haven't gotten those extensions yet, I could see people being concerned about one of those names not popping on. So I'm sure that there were a couple of, minor sort of conniptions about the fact that Cameron Jordan's name was on that missing from practice list. But as Larry Holder said, simply missed Thursday's practice, not at all a big deal. As expected, Drew Brees and Jared Cook got some work in. There were a couple of little highlight videos or little videos that were circulating around with Drew Brees hitting Michael Thomas, Ted Ginn Jr., and Jared Cook with a couple of passes. So exciting to see those guys getting their chemistry working. Jared Cook was also available to the media in the locker room after practice and spoke very highly of Drew Brees, calling Drew Brees the GOAT, saying that nobody does it the way that he does. So it's very exciting to see the two of them starting to build the chemistry. He said he's feeling pretty pretty comfortable with getting to know the playbook. It's just about the communication between him and Drew Brees. That's the thing that he wants to focus on, which is excellent. That's exactly what you want to hear at this point in the offseason programs. LSU track star and former Seattle Seahawk Cyril Grayson made a big play on Thursday, catching a long touchdown from JT Barrett per Luke Johnson on Twitter. The big takeaway for me when it comes to Cyril Grayson, though, is that Sean Payton, after practice, went and did, you know, his media availability and talked about OTAs and mentioned that we'll start to see Grayson get some work in the return game. So that throws another name in, along with Marcus Sherrills and Deontay Harris, as a possible returner for the Saints. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. He spoke very highly, Sean Payton did, of Cyril Grayson's speed. One of the reporters asked him, would you call it elite speed? And he wouldn't really go that far with it, but definitely talked about how it is a shining quality and one that stands out. And he's excited to see him get a little bit of work in the return game. So another name to keep an eye out on in the kick and punt return area for the Saints. The offensive line saw a little bit of rotation that was a little wonky because of Larry Warford's absence. Most everything looked the same. Armstead at left tackle, Pete at left guard, and Ramczyk at right tackle. But Cameron Tom actually played first team center, and Nick Easton played at right guard in place of Larry Warford. Eric McCoy did take snaps, but he took snaps as the second team center, and then newly signed Mitchell Newhouse took some snaps with the first team as left tackle as well. But we'll talk a little bit more about Newhouse in the next segment after the first break coming up here in just a moment. But seeing Eric McCoy get those second team snaps makes perfect sense. This is about where you would expect him to be with the first session of OTA, so definitely something to continue to track as we move into the next few weeks of the offseason. Some other highlights to point out: Sean Payton, after the final practice was over, went out for his media availability and talked about the return of Trayvon Darrell and his excitement to get him back onto the field and evaluate him. With him returning and the other wide receiver additions made since the drafts, the Saints now have 12 wide receivers, with the majority of them fighting for only a few spots on the roster. Payton also took some time to discuss being able to utilize Jared Cook in much the same way that he saw play in Oakland, mentioning that the play style matched a lot of what the Saints like to do. And the Saints, of course, have the rest of this weekend off, and then we'll go into their second session of OTAs, another 3-day span, May 28th through the 30th. So only really a few days away from this Friday, depending on when you're listening to this. This also was a time for the Saints during OTAs to try out and sign a few new players. We'll talk about those guys right after this break, right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. But first, I want to tell you about our next sponsor. Today's show is brought to you by Grip 6 Belts, where the goal is to literally make the best belt that's ever been made. And I think Grip 6 did a really great job at doing exactly that. And it's also an easy, thoughtful gift for Father's Day, for your dad, brother, husband, uncle, grandpa, everybody. And of course, they have a women's collection as well, for mom, for the wifey, for sister, for everybody else around in the family. Ultra lightweight with no holes, no flap. And of course, it carries a low profile with the belt buckle laying directly against your waist, making it super comfortable to wear. Grip 6 is the only belt with no holes, no flap, no bulk. Grip 6 has a special offer for you that you can use right here from the podcast. Grip6.com/lock. That's Grip6, the number 6.com/LOCKE. Check them out. All right, Hooded Nation, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. We want to talk a little bit about some of the moves that the Saints have made over the last couple of days. They've used these OTAs as an opportunity to bring in, try out, and potentially sign a few players, and they managed to do that with three players just a couple of days ago. They added tackle Marshall Newhouse, who is a player that I actually really like. He spent some time with the Giants, the Bengals, the Packers, and then spent last season with the Bills and the Panthers. So he's the second Carolina Panthers player to be signed so far this offseason since post-draft, because they signed Wes Horton just a few days ago. And one of the things that I like a lot about Marshall Newhouse is just he's one of those guys that's a little bit versatile. He's played primarily left tackle his entire career. And, you know, we talk a lot about the interior offensive line and the detail that the Saints have paid to that part of the O-line. They haven't really done a lot to address the backup tackle positions. So we talk about a guy like Newhouse coming in, who's got a ton of left tackle experience, but also has played a little bit on the right tackle side. And incredibly, throughout his career, he's allowed a ton of sacks, 39 sacks in his 8-year career so far. But last year, when he shifted to playing pretty much exclusively left tackle for the Bills for the first 3 games, and then starting week 7 through week 17 for the Panthers, he played at left tackle for the most part, with the exception of 2 games with the Panthers against Baltimore and against Pittsburgh. Now, he's a backup guy. He's a rotational piece. He's a spell kind of guy. He's the guy that you would bring in as a swing tackle, potentially. And he's somebody that could back up Teron Armstead. And, you know, he didn't allow a single sack last season when he started to sort of focus in on playing that rotational role. He played 117 total pass blocking snaps, played at the left tackle position for 172 snaps, didn't allow a single sack, and only 6 pressures in his time, committing only 3 penalties throughout the season. He played really, really well against the Saints in week 15, scoring an 81.2 pass blocking percentage, or 81.2 pass blocking grade. And he also scored an 83.2 pass blocking grade against New Orleans in week 17, but he only played 25 snaps in that one total. He played against Atlanta toward the end of the season as well, getting 92 snaps there. He allowed 4 quarterback hits in that game alone and 1 hurry, but still, again, no sacks throughout that entire 2018 season after allowing a ton of sacks in his first 7 years. So you can see him sort of trending in the right direction. The other guy that the Saints signed is Ryan Groy. He mostly plays center, so sort of the designation that you're going to see him with, but he has played all over the place since coming into the league in 2014. He was selected as an undrafted free agent for the Chicago Bears as a rookie in 2014, where he played mostly right tackle he played both right tackle and left guard in 2014 and 2015. And then in 2016, he played right tackle, left guard, and center. And then in 2017, he went ahead and added in some center and left guard snaps, played primarily left guard in 2017. But then 2018, he played center, left guard, and right guard. So that means that he has played every single position on the offensive line at the NFL level. And incredibly, despite the fact that he moved all around and played, he played 23 snaps in 2015, only 66 in 2017, but he played 226 in 2014, 539 in 2016, and 530 last year in 2018. So that's a total of 1,384 snaps, 806 of which as a pass blocker. He's allowed 1 sack over his 5-year career. 1 sack. He's allowed a total of 29 pressures, which can be pretty hefty. He allowed a lofty 11 pressures last season, 8 of which hurries, and over his career, 21 hurries, but only a single sack, and that was in his rookie year in Chicago. So, and on top of that, he's only committed 4 penalties over the course of those 5 years, again, despite playing at multiple different positions, and in the meanwhile, never committing more than 1 penalty in a single season. So Ryan Groy is definitely somebody to keep an eye out on as a swing offensive lineman, and he's a Wisconsin Badger, and y'all know how much I love Wisconsin Badger offensive linemen. And he's only 28 years old, relatively healthy. He's been, he hasn't missed a ton of time with injury. He hasn't seen a ton of playing time in those couple of seasons, and some of that had to do with health concerns, but not really somebody I'm concerned about in that way. So definitely somebody that can be a valuable addition for the Saints. Ryan Groy, name to keep an eye out on throughout the offseason practices here. Watch, I say that, and in like 3 days, he's going to end up getting waived. Terrell Williams Jr. was also signed. He's a safety out of Houston, spent 2018 on the 49ers injured reserve before signing as an undrafted free agent rookie that year. So now he's moving into his second year, his first since being on the injured reserve. He's got great size for a safety, 6'4", 212 pounds, also ran a 4.56 at his pro day. And then, of course, the Saints had to make some corresponding moves, some releases to make room for these 3 guys that are coming in. So Marshall Newhouse, who I think I called Mitchell Newhouse in the last segment. So my bad, Marshall. My apologies. Ryan Groy and Terrell Williams Jr. all joining, and corresponding right guard Mike Herndon and wide receiver Micah Wright were both released, both of them undrafted free agent rookies this season. And then backup tackle Derek Newton, who was signed last year at the end of the season, saw some work in week 17. He ended up getting released as well to make room for those new additions. The Saints also used this time to try out a couple of running backs. According to Josh Katzenstein on Twitter, the Saints worked out some running backs, including Fozzie Whitaker, Robert Kelly, and Buck Allen. Buck Allen, of course, Javarius Allen, who's somebody I'm actually really, really interested in. He played four seasons in Baltimore, was kind of erased from the offense last season altogether because of that incredible, just sort of, I don't, not really incredible, but you know what I mean. They have a ton of wide receivers. I mean, they have a ton of running backs in that system last year, and they've only added more this year with Mark Ingram there. But it's not really a surprise that Buck Allen ends up being available this offseason. Ty Montgomery came in last season, and then, you know, Buck's snaps just kind of dwindled and went away at that point. So he only had 41 attempts in 2018 as a running back, but saw 153 for 591 yards and four touchdowns in 2017. Also saw 137 carries for 514 yards and a touchdown in 2015. So he's seen a little bit more of a heavier running back role before and has been able to handle that and turn in some production with it. Not great. You'd like to see more touchdowns there. You'd like to see a better yards per run average. His yards per attempt over his career is only 3.7. So you definitely want to see that be a little bit better. But one of the things that really intrigues me about Buck Allen is his receiving ability. You're talking about a guy that's never had below an 81.8% reception rate, has caught 129 receptions in his career on 153 targets, 804 yards, and six total receiving touchdowns as well, including two in 2018, 2017, and 2015. Didn't really get a lot of snaps in 2016. So he's somebody that's averaging over those 4 years, a little bit over 200 receiving yards per season, which is nice, 6.2 yards per reception. And also out of that 804 yards receiving, 754 of which have come after the catch. So he does some good work after the catch. And I think that he's somebody that can really fit into this offense and could potentially challenge for that running back three role. I don't look at him as somebody that can challenge for a running back two role. He's a little bit of a camp body. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm not going to inflate it if the Saints were to sign him. That's all he would be, but definitely somebody that could potentially come into New Orleans and maybe make a play for that running back three role, or at least stake his claim as somebody to be considered there. So definitely, you know, we'll keep an eye on that and see what happens. He just tried out, no signings from that group at all when it comes to Whitaker, Allen, or Robert Kelly. But Allen is definitely somebody that intrigues me, but again, not signed, not worry about it at the moment. So, all right, y'all, we're going to jump to our final break here. When we come back, we're talking about Gerald McCoy taking his first visit, and we're going to talk about Ted Ginn Jr. putting up rather than shutting up. Gotta love it. Gotta love his attitude. So we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back from this break. But before we jump in there, want to tell you a little something about our final sponsor for the day. One of Drew Brees' endorsements here. Untuck It. Today's show is brought to you in part by Untuck It. Dads come in all kinds of shapes and sizes, and so should their shirts, like tall, short, slim, and relaxed. Ever wonder why your father's button-downs look so long and baggy at the end of a day? It's rough. It can be hard for a guy to find and pull off a casual, untucked look that isn't sloppy, and that's exactly where Untuck It comes in. Untuck It is the solution that fits just right. Their shirts are specifically designed to look great untucked and feel comfortable at work or on the weekend. No tucking or tailoring required. Go to untuckit.com and use promo code NBA to get 20% off. That's untuckit.com, promo code NBA. Get yours today. All right, family, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. So this is where we get to talk a little bit more about Gerald McCoy. And I saved this toward the end of the episode because it's not great news. It's really not. So I didn't want to start off with it and try to spoil the move, because OTAs have been so fun and the new additions are really exciting. But for the Saints, it looks like the Gerald McCoy train might be slowing down a little bit. And what I mean by that is that Gerald McCoy has already taken a visit, and he's taken a visit with who I consider to be the number one option for him, sort of the most likely option in terms of a team that will sign him, with the Cleveland Browns. So he's visiting with the Cleveland Browns on Friday, today, if you're listening to this, you know, on its first day of release. And he, I don't really see a reality in which he leaves Cleveland without a contract. I think they have the most money to give him. They're an up-and-coming team. They're exciting. They can be playoff contenders going into this season, potentially. But they have enough excitement around them that I think that it could be very appealing for Gerald McCoy. The other part of it is that, you know, Larry Holder is live right now as I speak on The Athletic doing his live Q&A. And when he was asked about Gerald McCoy, one of the things that he said was, two sources gave me these one-word answers in the Saints' involvement. No and doubtful. Now, this is very upsetting for me. This is something I was not prepared for on a Friday morning. I was not prepared to deal with this, and I was not prepared to deal with this news. But I told Larry he's breaking my heart. He's breaking my heart. He said he likes the fit too, but just doesn't really see it happening. So is it time to sort of extinguish the flame to bring Gerald McCoy to New Orleans? No, not. I won't do it. I'm sorry. I won't do it. I'm holding out hope. Like I said from the very beginning, I was probably like 40% that he was going to end up in New Orleans because I still saw Cleveland as a front runner for it. But I'm going to hold out hope. I'm going to wait and see what happens. If it's possible that he potentially, you know, leaves Cleveland with a contract, then, you know, maybe something does work out. But as of right now, let's just temper our expectations. Gerald McCoy very well likely may not end up in New Orleans, which a lot of us kind of expected anyway. But definitely the excitement around him and the fit is very appealing. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, I'm holding out hope, but that's my Gerald McCoy update for the end of today, or for the end of this week, and we'll continue to track it throughout next week as well, of course. One other little tidbit of Saints OTA news that I realized that I forgot to mention earlier in the episode is, you know, for those of you that are tracking the wide receiver battle that's going to be going on throughout this offseason, you know, we already talked about sort of who my three locks are, and Michael Thomas, Ted Ginn Jr., and Traquan Smith, and then it's kind of the field after that. Well, one of the things that we learned also from Larry Holder is that Cameron Meredith still not participating in practice. And to Larry's estimation, it seems like it's still the same knee injury. And so at this point, you got to be concerned about whether or not he's going to be able to contribute on this team. And, you know, we don't know what happened because there was only one day of OTAs that was open to the media. So we don't know how much he participated in the first 2 days, perhaps, but definitely was limited on that Thursday. And looks like he's still fighting with that same knee injury. So something to continue to track, as we will here on Locked On Saints throughout the rest of the offseason, because he's somebody that is an intriguing storyline and we want to see him succeed. But it's kind of tough right now to have a lot of faith in everything that's going on with that. But another wide receiver, on the other hand, is already making news outside of Saints minicamps and Saints OTAs, and that's Ted Ginn Jr., who basically said that he would race anybody in the NFL for $10,000. He says he's the fastest man in the NFL. So now there's a 40-man race coming up June 29th. I'm sorry, a 40-yard race coming up June 29th. So that's in a little bit over a month now. Among those people that will be participating, Alvin Kamara and Ted Ginn Jr. from the Saints, the Bears' Tarik Cohen, the Jets' Robbie Anderson, the Ravens' Mark Ingram, Vikings' Trey Waynes, Washington's Dominique Rodgers-Camardi, Titans' Kevin Byard, and Cardinals' Buda Baker. There's also a rumor as well saying that there will be another mystery competitor from the Saints also taking part. So definitely something a little fun to watch out for coming up late next month. Be a ton of fun to watch this 40-yard race between these NFL players and see Ted Ginn Jr. really put himself to the test out here. I love that he really created a situation in which he, you know, he put his money where his mouth is. So it'd be a lot of fun to watch. And of course, I'm sure that all of this is going to go to, charity and things like that. So just a ton of fun to be able to see that kind of stuff going on during the offseason. We have that to look forward to. We still have quarterback competitions to look forward to once we get into training camp. And so there's just so much ahead of us. And the best way for you to be able to keep up with everything is to continue to listen here on the Locked On Saints podcast. You can do that by subscribing with the Himalaya podcast app. Download it in your app store. They're going to give you personally curated playlists as well as new features every day. So you can download that in your app store and then subscribe to the podcast Locked On Saints. Make sure that you stick around, y'all. That's going to do it for today's episode. But to open up next week, I have an interview with Caden Ellis that I'm so excited to share. The Saints' seventh round pick, the versatile linebacker out of Idaho, born and raised in Utah, son of Luther Ellis. Just so much to his story, and I cannot wait to share that with you. So that's going to be Monday's episode. So stick around to get started next week with that. And then, of course, we'll enter our second session of OTAs. So we'll continue to track through that as well and then continue to update news with Gerald McCoy. There's so much going on in this offseason, and it's so fun to be able to be here with y'all. So thank you very much, everybody, for joining me and for sticking here with the Locked On Saints podcast, keeping you up to date every single day with everything that's going on. So I will see y'all y'all next week. Have a blessed weekend. And I'll say now, as I always do, thank you so much for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And please take some time to rate, review, drop those 5-star ratings, y'all. I really appreciate it. Busting, grinding out here. So I appreciate all your support. Share, retweet. All of that helps out a lot. To find Locked On Saints, just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints at home or in your vehicle. And be sure to subscribe on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and of course the new podcasting app, Himalaya, so you know when the newest episodes drop every Monday through Friday. Thank you all so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints. And trust, Who Dat Nation, I'll holla at you.